Principle, love. Unity is the key. There are 7 terms which describe the nature of God, and these terms are mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Those were just given in the order of the days of creation, as described in the first chapter of Genesis and the beginning of the following chapter. And of course, each one of these primary terms unfold into an infinite variety of tributaries, such that every term in every language that represents 100% God-likeness would be included in either those primary terms or tributaries of those primary terms. And of course, each term is merely a symbol for a quality, and the symbol may be manifested in something visible, but the real value is not in a visible symbol, but in the underlying nature of the quality that manifests itself as the visible symbol. The symbol may not be visible. For example, a feeling is not something that could be described in completeness by referring to something visible. Or an aroma of a beautiful flower or vine, a bloom of any type that has a wonderful, pleasant aroma, sometimes can only be described by naming the visible thing which appears to be the source of that aroma. Every quality may not be expressed in a visible manner, but every visible thing which is godlike can be expressed in terms of the quality. A long time, very advanced Christian Science practitioner one time told me, qualities, qualities, all are qualities. In other words, there's nothing else except qualities. One of the definitions for God by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science, and also the author of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, states, God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. The first 4 words lay the atmosphere, the groundwork, for the 7 synonymous terms. Incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Very difficult to describe what those really mean with terms or words of a language. We can describe what incorporeal is not. Incorporeal is not a body. a physical item that you can touch and feel and see visibly. It can't make any noise, no sound, so you cannot hear it. There's no aroma, so there's no smell. There's no feeling that is visible. The fourth term in this series of the seven synonymous terms for God in the days of creation order is principle. And principle represents system and structure. Those are the primary sub-qualities of principle. Principle being described as a primary quality of God. There is no functioning of anything without principle. Everything requires a structure. And a structure requires a system, or the structure by itself is useless. So that points to the need of a blueprint and a plan of operation. And these two terms represent the seventh synonymous term for God, which is love. Mary Baker Eddy has used those two words together as if they have an indelible connection. Divine principle love. Divine, of course, indicating that the relationship is a divine one and certainly not a corporeal one or a substandard one. When one thinks about something really special and absolutely perfect from any view, any dimension, one might say, that is divine. Well, Mary Baker Eddy is describing principle and love as a combination as being divine, perfect. So when one thinks about the relationship between principle and love, one can see that principle is the term that represents the structure and the system, and love represents the plan and design such that it all works together. Now, love by itself represents the term fulfillment, wholeness, completeness. And it's easy to think of love being a lubricant that not only enables principle to be seamless in its operation with love, but all of the terms operate seamlessly with love, such that it does serve, as one might say, a lubricant so that the entire gamut of reality is harmonious. Harmony is one of the primary features of principle, along with balance. Two terms that certainly are closely related. Now, what kind of a system or structure or a plan and design could one have unless it also incorporated features of mind? Mind represents the quality of creativity. And that is easy to consider as being the foremost quality of mind. For creativity is like enlightenment, giving the idea, and the idea then must be coupled with the qualities of omniscience, which is also a primary quality of mind. And omniscience includes intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. So if there's going to be a plan and design, again, qualities of love, and if there's going to be structure and system, qualities of principle, they certainly need to be intelligent and wise and knowing. You wouldn't want to have a system that is absent of intelligence, or a structure that is absent of wisdom. In other words, you don't want to build a house that you plan to live in on the beach made out of sand. It might be fun as a child to create one, but if you're going to live in it, you probably better have it mixed in with some things like concrete and steel. And of course, sand is one of the ingredients of concrete. And you better have some paint on it, because otherwise water will corrode the steel and it wouldn't last. And of course, the concrete probably would be used as a foundation. Everything that is visible has some kind of a structure. That is manifested as the visible symbol. There's a structure to a rose bush, also to the beautiful bougainvillea. A palm tree. I mean, a palm tree can be very tall, very slender. And the root system on a palm tree is unbelievably small. It's not like deciduous trees, such as a maple or an oak tree, or a primavera, which is a hardwood tree with a beautiful grain. The bloom is spectacular. They can be seen in Mexico and Central America. And the bloom that was mentioned is a brilliant yellow flower. And here's a couple of sentences from an encyclopedia. The wood is firm, light-colored, often called white mahogany. Although the tree is unrelated to true mahogany, the wood resembles it in being easy to work, lustrous, and free of a tendency to warp. When first cut, it is a pale yellow. Upon exposure to air and light, it darkens to a yellowish rose with streaks of red, orange, and brown. It's easy to think of a number of qualities of God that relate to the features of the primavera. The giant sequoia redwood trees are another tree that offers an opportunity to relate to very good qualities, and particularly the qualities of divine principle love. They are located primarily in the coastal area in Northern California. Following is from an article entitled Nurturing Our Roots Together by Satinder. It's from October 18, 2021. The giant sequoia redwood trees located in California are some of the largest and longest surviving organisms in the world, older than the English language and most of the world's major religions. The General Sherman tree is 275 feet tall, 100 feet in circumference, and known to be the largest tree on earth by volume, and is approximately 2,500 years old. These trees can easily reach heights of 300 feet. Among the redwoods, a tree named Hypernion dwarfs them all. The tree was discovered in 2006 and is 379.7 feet tall. One would think that a 300-foot tall tree would need deep roots, but that's not the case at all with the sequoia redwood trees. The sequoias have a unique root system that is quite amazing. They have shallow, intertwining roots, which rarely reach more than about 6 feet below the surface. Their roots underground reach sideways and seek roots of other trees. When they meet the other roots, they intertwine and make a bond. Unity is their strength, with each tree giving support to each other. In the Muir Woods, nature is giving humanity a very crucial lesson, that our real strength is in our willingness to care for and support each other. Wisdom is to understand this simple universal principle. In giving, we receive. By getting things, we make a living. By giving, we make a life. The spiritual evolution of a society can be understood when people love people and use things. But all too often in today's world, it is just the opposite. People use people and love things. So, underneath the surface of these huge superstructures stand interlocking roots, like an army of soldiers who have their arms intertwined, literally holding and supporting each other. Only redwoods have the strength and ability to support other redwoods. Not deep, but wide. They live in an engaging embrace of each other. What happens if you cut a redwood tree? Not only are the trees that are cut are destroyed, but the other redwoods that remain in the tribe often die. Without the missing trees to share water and nutrients, the remaining members become less healthy and sometimes cannot even survive. The intertwining roots of the redwood trees present an excellent metaphor for a productive community and a dynamic new business model. However, the lessons these sequoias hold for us are universal and go far beyond the precincts of corporate boardrooms. While we all need to carry our cross, we also need to help others carry theirs. Yes, indeed, we are our brothers and sisters' keepers. Cooperation presents a robust model of sustaining us together, much more so than competition, both personally and professionally. Indeed, one is too small a number to achieve greatness. After considering the lesson that is related in this article about the giant Sequoia Redwoods, it is easy to understand more thoroughly why Mr. Rawson, one of the greatest healers known to man, has strongly recommended that one devote efforts. And in fact, he states that it is the most important thing that one can do, and that is to extend the effort to make other people happy. Be in a community in consciousness that consists of giving, helping, sharing. Don't be concerned about what one will receive, because the blessings are infinite. But only if we are giving to be giving, not to be receiving. It states in the Bible that we should seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen.